This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from the Blueberry by Design studio in Columbus, Ohio. The lead stories are T-Mobile Sprint merger update. 200 million devices may be subject to cyber attack. Amazon has apparently partnered with over 200 law enforcement agencies. And a privacy group asked for reconsideration of the $5 billion Facebook privacy fine. I want to welcome you to episode 1385 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, July 29th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You too can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. I want to give a warm welcome to all the new listeners to the show. Thanks for checking the show out for the very first time. We are still audio only primarily, and very, very soon the video component will be back full time. But if you're new to the show, make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com, get subscribed to the podcast. You can do that via Apple Podcasts, on Android, via email, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, or just grab that standard podcast RSS feed. Of course, we want you to sign up for the newsletter while you're on the website. That's a little bit further down on the webpage. That will deliver all of the show notes from today's podcast directly to your inbox immediately following the show. You can always listen to the show at blueberry.com or on your smart home device by using the keyword to launch that device and say, play the podcast, Geek News Central. You can join our chat room at geeknews.chat or on Slack. If you want to join our Slack channel, you can contact me via email, geeknews@gmail.com. And that's a great place to send an email from the show as well. Or on Twitter at Geek News. Of course, you can always follow me on Facebook, just searching for my name, Todd Cochran. Partner shows include, and these are always linked at Geek News Central, GNC Week Review by Kurt Corliss, The Gadget Professor by Mr. Don Bain, The Pro Gear Site written by the GNC writing team, The New Media Show hosted by myself and Mr. Rob Greenlee, and Podcast Legends. You can always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store for all kinds of cool swag. Of course, this show is sponsored by the longest-running continuous sponsor of a podcast. That's our good friends at GoDaddy.com. We want to make sure that you get over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And it may be time to pick up a hosting account, whether it be a managed WordPress site or a standard hosting account, and get you started for $1 a month. Yes, just $1 a month for the first 12 months, and that includes a free domain name. Or you just need a domain name, one and out, $4.99 is the price of the domain names using my promo codes. You can always save big on product purchases by using my 30% off promo code. And for those of you that are big time business owners or small shops, if you're looking for a new look, want to rebuild your site, GoDaddy Website Builder is the place to go. And I've got a discount code, got you 30 days free GoDaddy Website Builder to give that a try. So check out all my deals. Again, at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. They'll lock in your savings. Grab the promo code. Make sure you cut and paste it so you save at checkout. You can always lock in that savings by clicking on the link as well on the website. But make sure you check the promo code's been applied before you check out. I want to thank all of you that have used one of my promo codes in the last month. And of course, if you're thinking about picking a product or service from GoDaddy, that is just like an in-kind donation to this show. When you use that, it's greatly appreciated. So definitely check out all my promo codes at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Everyone, welcome to the show. And of course, I'm down here in Columbus. And wow, what's going on? Well, prior to driving down here, of course, I did the show in Michigan on Thursday, trying to think where I was at. Had a great response to the show. And at the same time, just kept on cranking on getting stuff unpacked and signage up. and I'm in a pretty good position. I'm getting to the point where I'm just a little impatient because I've got some electric that needs to be moved, sockets. That'll happen, I believe, the week of the 9th. And then carpeting being, I know, 9th, 10th, 11th, week of the 11th. And then carpeting being laid on the 9th. And really then waiting for the Audimute stuff to come in. And then everything will fly together. So I know it's a work in progress, but really things are moving along here. I'm just getting a little bit impatient at this point. I'm hoping that we can get everything in and be up and running. And really, I've got some stuff that's forthcoming that I have to have the studio put together no matter what. So I'm hoping by the end of August, we're all dialed in and keep our fingers crossed. But I'm pretty much ready. And then I drove down to Columbus this morning. That was a little rough drive, not from a traffic-wise, but boy, oh boy, had to caffeine up quite a bit. So we're doing the show tonight. It's almost already 8 p.m. Eastern here getting in to do the show. And then I have a day trip to Manhattan tomorrow. So I fly out at 6 a.m., go up to LaGuardia, catch a Uber or Lyft to meet up with Jeff Hines, my chief revenue officer. We have an afternoon appointment with a network out there, I talk with them, and then bounce back here to Columbus, and I get it in about, I think, around 10 p.m. tomorrow night. And then Wednesday, we've got a company fun day and some activities, but I'll get to sleep in just a little bit, which will be nice. And then Thursday, full business day, then back up to Michigan Thursday night. Now, the goal, and this is a little bit of a dilemma that I'm running into, 3.5-hour drive. And typically, I'm not going to want to leave here before 4, just because, you know, get through the work day. So that gets me into Michigan by 7:30, and then into the studio, prep, and maybe we'll have an 8 o'clock start for the show on Thursday from the Michigan studio. So just a little bit of craziness on the Thursday show, just because of my every other week. So I'm going to have to make a decision at some point on the show day for going forward on these weeks that I'm down here in Columbus. It just doesn't make it super clean. So maybe at some point I'll switch to a Friday morning show. I'm not 100% sure. I'm considering it. It's not optimal from basically getting the show out to all of you, but it is something that I'm considering. So anyway, that's where we're at. We'll try it this week by me getting back into the studio in Michigan and recording the show after driving up from Columbus. So let's go ahead and get into the stack of stuff. Kirk did a good job finding a bunch of stuff today. But I missed this. I don't know when this was announced, but the T-Mobile merger is the Department of Justice has finally gave T-Mobile and Sprint the thumbs up. And the U.S. wireless industry can now begin preparing for its new reality with Sprint going away and T-Mobile getting a lot bigger. And, of course, Dish, after years of hoarding spectrum, is set to become a fourth wireless competitor. Of course, there's a bunch of about a dozen state attorneys who are still trying to block the T-Mobile-Sprint merger. So that's got to happen. So we'll see what happens here. And it's one step closer here. Now, T-Mobile CEO John Legere previously promised the FCC that the company will not raise wireless prices for 3 years following the merger approval, and that promise still stands after the DOJ gave its blessing to the deal. And if you're currently a T-Mobile customer, you can expect to continue using the same plans for service, including with 5G if it's available in your area. What's going to happen to Sprint? We don't know. MVNOs like Google Fi and Ting, those relationships are not going to change. But one thing's for sure is AT&T and Verizon now may face more competition. We'll see. And if Dish joins the pack, we could see some challenges here. And Dish may get very aggressive. So time will tell on this. But anyway, that's where we're at on the the T-Mobile Sprint merger. And what it means for you is detailed in this article that'll be linked, of course, up in the show notes at geeknewscentral.com. Ars Technica is reporting that 200 million devices, some mission critical, are very vulnerable to remote takeover. And this is interesting. Researchers with security firm Armist identified 11 vulnerabilities in various versions of VxWorks. Of course, VxWorks is a powerhouse operating system, and it operates on a lot of different devices. It's not something that you would probably be, you might be running an application or something in your home that would be running with this operating system. But a slimmed down operating system runs on more than 2 billion devices worldwide. And basically, they've billed this as collective as the Urgent 11. The vulnerability consists of 6 remote code flaws and 5 less severe issues that allow things like information leaks and denial of service attacks. None of the vulnerabilities affects the most recent version of VxWorks, which was released last week, or any of the certified versions of OS, including VxWorks 6.5.3 or VxWorks Cert Edition. For the 200 million devices, this could be modems, this could be applications, this could be routers, this could be switches. And this flaw is pretty bad. Essentially allow device takeover. And these are largely, though, non-critical devices, but it could be modems, routers, printers, as well as some industrial and medical devices that reside at the perimeter of a network. So there's patches out, but really, the more immediate challenge for organizations that use affected or potentially affected equipment will be to assess the risk they face. Armist researchers are presenting Urgent 11 as posing a serious and imminent threat, potentially to the scale of a Windows vulnerability that allowed the 2016 WannaCry worm to sow worldwide disruption. Armist researchers are also warning that the difficulty of patching the flaws, meaning this risk may be with us for a long time. So I'm sure we're going to hear more about this, but this is, again, old code that's being used on devices in active use that are susceptible to all kinds of nastiness. Amazon, according to Motherboard, told police it has partnered with 200 law enforcement agencies. Now, Ring has never disclosed the X number of partnership it maintains with law enforcement. However, the company is partnered with at least 200, according to notes taken by a police officer during a Ring webinar, which he emailed to himself in April. It is possible that the number of partnerships have changed since the day the email was sent. The officer who sent the email told Motherboard that the email was a transcribed version of handwritten notes that he took during a team webinar on April 9th. Additional emails obtained by Motherboard indicate that the webinar trained officers on how to use the law enforcement neighborhood portal. The portal allows local police to see a map with the approximate locations of all Ring cameras in the neighborhood. And then they can request footage directly from the camera owner. Owners need to consent, but police do not need a warrant to ask for the footage. The email obtained by Motherboard was sent from the Waynesboro, Virginia, chief of police to himself with the subject line, Neighbors by Ring Notes. So this is very, very curious. Ring has not responded to Motherboard's request for comment. But what do you think? If you have 200 police agencies that have access to this tool, and if you have a Ring camera in your home, doorbell or otherwise, they can ask for permission to see the video footage from that camera. I'm sure to investigate stuff going on in the neighborhood. What say you? Are you think this is good? I think that as long as they have to ask permission and don't have free access to that content, I think it's probably a good program. But it is interesting to see how tech that we have in our homes that we use to make sure our kids get in safe or we can answer the door safely is now being used by police and investigations in law enforcement. A privacy group has asked the court to reconsider the FTC's $5 billion Facebook deal. So the Electronic Privacy Information Center, EPIC, filed the motion intervening with the U.S. District Court in Washington on Friday, asking the court to let it and other privacy advocacy groups file comments in a careful review of the fairness and adequacy of the proposed settlement. Of course, the agreement between the Facebook and FTC, as announced last week, includes a record-setting $5 billion fine and mandates changes to Facebook's reporting structure and oversight for privacy-related matters. As with any other settlement, the consent decree between Facebook and FTC is not final until and after a judge approves this. EPIC is specifically asking the court not to rubber stamp, but instead allow it and other privacy organizations to file briefs to the case and schedule a hearing to review privacy-related issues. They say the settlement is not adequate, reasonable, or appropriate. Its scope goes far beyond the dispute in question, extinguishes all 26,000 pending consumer complaints made about Facebook prior to June 2019. They say the proposed settlement is clearly not in the public interest, as it leaves consumer complaints unaddressed while still failing to ensure consumer privacy on Facebook. The group continued, "This court has a mandate not to stand by and approve any consent decree placed before it and is not obliged to accept one that appears to make a mockery of judicial power, like the consent decree proposed in this case." So some pretty strong words here. And we'll see. What do you think? Do you think that this has standing? Or do you think they should be Facebook should be allowed to pay their $5 billion dollar fine, not claim that they're guilty, and move on? What do you say? geeknews@gmail.com. One thing's for sure is every once in a while you read about something that has been put online that makes you really go, wow. A Google Doodle celebrates a diplomat who helped Jews flee Europe during World War II. Japan Shinyu Sugihara defied orders to issue visas to thousands of Jewish refugees. And in essence, he wrote as many as 6,000 visas, allowing people to travel through Japan to other destinations, with some families going on a single visa. He did this against the Japanese government's express permission. And it's estimated today that 40,000 people are alive because of his effort. And in fact, he was honored, and there was a tree planted in his honor at the Jerusalem Holocaust Memorial. He's also declared a righteous among the nations, an honor given to people who risked their lives to save Jews during the Holocaust. He died in 1986, and his friends and neighbors only found out about his heroism because the Israeli ambassador led a Jewish delegation to his funeral, according to the Jerusalem Post. So Google honored him today and in a Google Doodle, and you can learn more about this in the show notes linked up at geeknewscentral.com. AT&T has scored $984 million contract with the Justice Department. The carrier will quote-unquote modernize the Department of Justice tech systems. Is that even possible? So this 15-year contract to help great the U.S. Department of Justice technology system, the deal will see AT&T move more than 120,000 DOJ employees and 2,100 offices to a new communications platform for mobile voice and data. Cybersecurity and cloud services, while it doesn't cover 5G for now, the next generation network services could be added later on. The Department of Justice and 43 attached organizations will also get access to FirstNet, a dedicated public safety network with better security, speed, and priority. Stacy Schwartz, AT&T's Vice President of Public Safety and FirstNet, said it will help support the Justice Department's hard work protecting the freedoms, rights, and safety of Americans. The deal is part of the federal government's Enterprise Infrastructure Solutions Technology Procurement Program. That's a mouthful, isn't it? So congratulations to AT&T on the 984. And you know, in the scheme of things, it's not a very big contract. 984 over 15 years. If you think it's really not that big. Waze Carpool now lets drivers quickly add more riders. And I wasn't really too familiar with this, but as a Waze user, you can do two carpools a day and add people going close to your destination. And I'm trying to figure out if people can make money off this. It appears maybe a little bit, but drivers are limited to 2 carpools per day. Since this isn't about quitting your job and running this, and this is not about doing something full-time like Uber or Lyft does, but it does look like they get a little bit of cash for operating a ride-sharing service. So anyway, anyone that's used this, I'd love to hear from you. Link will be in the show notes. CBS has struck a deal with Altice. It's a network, a cable provider, as DirecTV's AT&T blackout continues. So CBS and cable provider Altice have reached a multi-year carriage deal. So they didn't give us any financials on this. Altice, which has nearly 5 million customers across 21 states, says it's pleased to extend its longstanding partnership with CBS. The agreement then, of course, comes during a blackout of CBS television stations for customers of DirecTV, DirecTV Now, and AT&T Uverse in 17 cities, as well as more than 100 CBS stations affiliates on DirecTV Now. The blackout stems from the expiration earlier this month of the CBS DirecTV deal signed in 2012. After the broadcaster and DirecTV owner AT&T failed to come to terms of a new carriage contract. That seems to be going on all the time. I think HBO is still in negotiation with DirecTV, or maybe it's just been completely pulled. I can't remember. All right, you Trekkie fans, Star Trek, the motion picture beams into theaters 40 years later. The gray uniforms are a little goofy, but 1979's Star Trek, the motion picture, kicked off a new era for Trek and revitalized the dormant franchise. That's an achievement we're celebrating 40 years later with a return to the big screen. Paramount and Fathom Events are teaming up for U.S. showings of the film on September 15th and 18th. This is the original theatrical cut starring the cast of the 1960 Star Trek television series. Ticket sales go online on August 2nd. So if you want to go see this classic back on the big screen, you can do so on September 15th and September 18th. Check the show notes for the link and information within. NASA, a NASA telescope, has discovered 3 intriguing planets hiding around nearby stars. NASA's TESS mission found a super Earth and 2 sub-Neptunes in our cosmic neighborhood. This is all happening just a mere 73 light years away, which in the cosmos or the universe is just like next door, really. The star known as TESS Object of Interest 270, or 2I-270, its more formal name is UCAC4191-004642. This star is 40% smaller than our sun, is also about a third cooler, it hangs 73 light years away. And again, we've got a planet close to the star, it's about as big as Earth, and a couple of others that are kind of Neptune types that hang a little further out. But anyway, link will be up in the show notes on this. You can check it out for you astronomy fans. A Los Angeles Police Department data breach has exposed personal info of 2,500 officers. The data stolen includes names, emails, date of birth, partial employee serial numbers, and passwords. It also includes an additional 17,500 LAPD applicants was also stolen in the same data breach. Information included, again, names, email addresses, etc. Department has learned of a data breach involved some of your information as they passed to the employees contained within the personal department's candidate application program. And the LAPD recommended affected officers monitor their credit reports and bank accounts and file a complaint with the FTC. But it didn't explain how the data breach happened or offer a way to get that data. There's basically the financial monitoring, which they should provide, being they allowed it to fall into someone's hands. But anyway, it's just another breach, another day. 2 active meteorite showers are coming this week, the Southern Delta Acarids and the Alpha Carpenoids. Oh my God, will peak Monday and Tuesday. So if you want to do something past midnight today and tomorrow, these meteorite showers should be visible to many of you. Link will be up in the show notes. Hulu Originals are coming to Delta's in-flight entertainment. You'll soon be able to watch your favorite Hulu exclusives while flying Delta. I'm flying Delta tomorrow. It was the cheapest and short notice and direct flights out of Columbus. Not a lot of direct flights out of Columbus to New York area, which was really, really weird. But anyway, Delta is expanding its in-flight entertainment offerings after equipping its 700 plane with seat-back screens. In addition to Delta Studio lineup and free service on the airline, passengers can now watch Hulu. Starting with this August, Delta's partnership with the streaming service will bring 13 original shows to the airline's in-flight entertainment system. On our trek back to the moon, we need a new lunar spacesuit. NASA being hyper-focused to be back on the lunar surface by 2024, and astronauts are going to need a spacesuit. So last week, Collins Aerospace unveiled a prototype of the next-generation spacesuit system, which could be used for excursions on the surface of the moon. On Thursday, a model demonstrated the ease of walking in the suit by trotting around the lobby of the Rayburn Home Office Building in Washington, D.C., and climbing up and down a few steps. The company claims that the suit is about half the weight of the original Apollo spacesuits. It's supposed to be much more flexible, capable of fitting a wide range of body types from small moonwalkers to those well over 6 feet. Collins Aerospace has a history of building spacesuits for NASA. The company collaborated with their longtime partner, ILC Dover, to build both the suits and attached life support systems currently used by astronauts on the International Space Station. Now the two companies want to show NASA that they have something the agency can use for their moonbound Artemis program as well. So I wonder if they did this on a government contract or if they put this together with their own money. But anyway, pretty good article. And you get to see what the spacesuit looked like. United Airlines is going to be using biometric security clearance for speeding things up. And basically, they're partnering up with Clear. I'm a big fan of Clear. I pay for Clear. But they're going to offer this in two airports to begin with. So with this partnership, U.S.-based MileagePlus members of United will be able to get free or discounted Clear memberships. This facility will initially be able at United Hubs at Newark, Newark Liberty International, and Houston George Bush Intercontinental Airport starting this summer. Clear and United are now offering free membership for Global Service and Premier 1K. Premier Platinum, Gold, and Silver memberships, in addition to the most United credit card members, will get a discount membership for $109. I paid $179 for mine, so maybe I'll get a renewal cheaper next year. Lyft stock drops on news that its COO is leaving. Lyft Chief Operating Officer John McNeil is leaving the company, two sources familiar with the situation. McNeil came to Lyft from Tesla, where he served as president of global sales and services. Shares of Lyft are down more than 2% after the news report. Comcast customers can now play Amazon Music on their TVs. Amazon Music will be integrated with the Xfinity X1 and Flex service, or platforms. For Comcast subscribers who already use Amazon Music, this integration gives them another option for music streaming. Customers can simply say Amazon Music into their voice remote in order to access their playlists, which is Comcast's more traditional cable set-top box with DVR and Flex. Its streaming TV service for internet customers already offers a wide range of third-party apps, including Netflix, Pandora, and YouTube. So Prime has been available on X1 boxes since December. So at 32 million subscribers, Amazon Music is still behind Spotify, 100 million subscribers, and Apple Music, 60 million subscribers, but the service expanding its availability across different platforms will likely speed up growth. This is an interesting story. It's on CNBC. Surescripts, it's upping its battle with Amazon PillPack. They say, we're turning the matter over to the FBI. Amazon-owned PillPack found a way to access its patients' prescription information via a third party called REMI Health. Surescripts, which contracts with REMI, said this represents unauthorized access to its network. Surescripts is the largest e-prescribing company in the United States, controlling nearly 90% of digital prescriptions. Amazon threatened to sue Superscripts. In turn, Superscripts claimed fraud and said it's turning the matter over to the FBI. So Amazon is engaged in a tense battle with the largest incumbents in the space. Surescripts is owned by a coalition of potential pill pack competitors, including CVS and Express Scripts, and manages about 80% of all U.S. prescriptions. It's such a dominant force that in April, the FTC sued the company, alleging illegal monopolization of e-prescription markets. And this goes to show you the battle is for the information, folks. Prescription information. Amazon wants in the game. They don't want you have to enter your prescription manually. They want to be able to digitally get that prescription from your provider. You can still enter your prescription manually, but it's much easier if it's digitally transferred. So we'll see where this leads. The Tokyo 2020 Olympic medals are made by using 6 million recycled phones. So yes, they're still going to be gold, silver, and bronze, but they are recovered. This gold, silver, and bronze is recovered from cell phones. And how many did they have to? 80,000 tons of old electronics to create the metals, including 6.21 million phones. That's amazing. A total of about 5,000 medals are expected to give out in Tokyo 2020 Olympics and Paralympic Games. So good write-up on this. I saw this in the news the other day. I'm glad Kurt caught it. Websites using Facebook, listen to this, websites using Facebook's like button are liable for data, Europe's top court decides. This is all about GDPR. Facebook's like button might not appear to be one of the internet's most complex tools, but there's a little more to the little upturned thumb than meets the eye. Some companies, for instance, use a like button on their websites as a plug-in, and on Monday, Europe's top court decided that they are jointly responsible with Facebook for the transfer of people's data. According to the judgment published by the Court of Justice of European Union, a company called Fashion ID, a German online clothing retailer, which had the like button plug installed on its website, basically says that Fashion ID and other websites like it cannot be responsible for what happens to the data after it's passed to Facebook, but they're responsible for operations involving the collection and disclosure by transmission to Facebook. So basically, the decision means in the future, all websites transmitting data about European citizens back to Facebook and other social networks, whether by a like button or any other plugin, must first get explicit permission to do so in order to comply with strict EU data protection rules introduced last year. In accordance with Europe's GDPR regulations, people must give explicit consent for the data to be collected. Wow, this is ridiculous. It really is, because if you're on a website and you're from the EU and you click the like button, aren't you giving consent? Really insane. Really, really insane. On more happy news, the FAA is allowing hobbyist drone pilots to get automated airspace approval. And it's through a new system called LAANC, Low Altitude Authorization Notification Capability. And it's going to be open to recreational flyers. Currently, 591 U.S. airports support LAANC, with more being added. You can get the flight clearance through several apps that are out there. So, one individual that wrote this article decided to try it himself. He created a simple flight plan near San Francisco's International Airport. And he did this through, what's the name of the app? Applications like AirMap and KittyHawk. And it will basically submit to the LAANC system and automatically get approval or disapproval. You have to provide your name, your cell phone number, and a variety of information about your drone. But this is for hobbyists. And of course, you got to tell what altitude as well. So this is pretty cool. Pretty cool. Apple, Google, Facebook, and Microsoft, amongst many others, are petitioning the FCC for super fast Wi-Fi tethering. It's part of a spectrum battle, pitting hardware makers against carriers and utility. It's rare to see Apple, Google, Microsoft, Facebook, HP, Qualcomm, Intel, Broadcom all team up on the same side of the aisle. And what they're trying to do is get some permission to operate in the 6 gigahertz range that the FCC opened up a 1200 megahertz chunk last year. They want to be able to have people that are wearing mobile AR, VR, or doing UHD video streaming or high-speed tethering or in-vehicle entertainment to use the 6 gigahertz for this high-speed transfer. So basically very, very low power transmitters and receivers, and not like a cell phone or something like that, but something much, much lower that will not interfere with other stuff operating in that range. So they're trying to get permission to operate these very low power devices in that range of this new open spectrum. It should not come as a surprise. The study has found that our smartphones may be making us fat. We sit in front of our computers. We sit with our devices. Yes, they're making us fat. There's no doubt in my mind. If you stay dormant, laying around for an hour, and you're, you know, yourself, my Apple Watch is saying, you need to stand up, move around, that's a good sign that, you know, you're probably getting fat from being in front of the computer or being in front of a device too long. I'm not surprised. And while I'm going to tell you something, one thing I notice, the big difference between Hawaii and here in the lower 48, it's Hawaii has a share of people that are obese and overweight, but I'm having, you know, not spent this much continuous time in the lower 48 in many, many years. We're all getting fat, people. We all are, including myself, obviously, right? We're getting really, really fat. I'm just somewhat shocked. And, you know, not just people my age, people much, much younger. I was talking about with my sister a little bit, and she's, oh, there's lots of people that are fit around. I'm like, where are they? They're not the places I've been going. But it is a sign. It really, really is. We need to be careful, yours truly included, all right? All right, there's a good article on lifehacker.com, how to recover deleted files with free software. And remember, if you delete a file by mistake, your best option right then is to stop. Because the more activity you do, the more chance that file is going to be overwritten. And there's software out there that will go look for a file, okay? And you can recover it. So the folks from lifehacker.com have some suggestions for recovery software. Oftentimes you have to install this before you've lost something, or if you do, you risk overwriting that area. But the less activity you do after you've realized that you've deleted a file, the better, folks. It's just the way it works. All right, best robot vacuums in 2019. Android Central has the lowdown here on those. Got the link up in the show notes for you. Matter of fact, I came in the office today and I saw a knockoff Roomba in here, and it was still in the box. And I asked them, why haven't we been running this thing? You guys bought it. How come it's still in the box? And people gave me the shrug shoulders. So if they don't start using it in the next couple of days, I'll send the thing back. I really will. All right. So everyone, thanks for being here. Little short show. Kind of punchy tonight. Definitely my butt's dragging. Very, very busy. I put probably too many hours, but I'm trying to make time while I'm in Michigan the best I can right now. There'll be time to rest after the studio is up and running. But to see the video on Facebook, you'll see the walkthrough, you'll see I've made some progress. It doesn't look like a lot of progress, but believe me, it's a lot. As a matter of fact, the secure room where all my high-end stuff is at, that thing really got organized, and that was in the back of my brain bugging me quite a bit, and I feel much better now that I can see what's where, and I have stuff organized in drawers. And my mom was commenting, you have so much space. I'm like, yeah, I'm paying for it. It's not free space. It's not rent free at all. And we did have a couple of people come in and make one-time donations. insider donations, a couple of $20 donations. I want to thank you very much for that. It is greatly, greatly appreciated for doing that. Bruce was one. Let's see, who was the other person? I had another email that I got. It was from, let's see here, from Roger. Roger, thank you so much for your $20 donation. It is greatly appreciated on those one-time donations, insider donations. Thank you so very much. A great time to do that. If you're not an insider yet or you want to make a one-time insider donation, geeknewscentral.com/insider is the location to do so. And though those of you that are on the $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, $25 a month donation plan, you have my utmost thanks as well. For those of you that are out there promoting my GoDaddy link, that helps a great deal as well. Sharing that with your friends, family members, the people that you know. Really, every little bit helps at this point in moving the ball forward here. Lots of stuff happening, and we're definitely appreciative of your ongoing support of the show. And things have been a little chaotic since May. I understand that. I can't believe it's already almost August. But really, it's only been like 2 months since I've been back in the States, or back in the lower 48. Back in the States. Hawaii was the States, but back in the lower 48. So it just seems like a lot longer. It really, really does. But time has definitely flown by here very, very quickly. All right, again, my pleasure bringing the show. We'll be back in the studio in Michigan on Thursday, and we'll go from there. But we'll see. We'll see how this adopts time-wise, how this is going to work out over the long haul here. I do appreciate your patience with the show. It's been my pleasure bringing the podcast. Geeknews@gmail.com is the email address. Appreciate any of your commentary that you may have for us. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you next time. Take care. Bye-bye.